This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
It's 1:24, and Dubnyk's going to start tonight for the Oilers against Phoenix, and word that Hanzel is questionable, too, so that's good news if you're an Edmonton Oilers fan. And before the top of the hour, we're going to be talking to Scott Taylor, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Winnipeg Jets. Right now, though, we're joined by the overlord of the nations, Kent Wilson. Kent, how are you, buddy?
Good. I like that title. Thank you.
Yeah, overlord. sounds impressive, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And I always return your emails, so you have power. There's no doubt. Talk to me a little bit about, I've been following the Flames this week because I keep expecting them to pass the Oilers. They beat the Red Wings, and then I thought last night they could have won that game, but they're inconsistent still. Are they getting a little better?
Well, not really. There's two main deficiencies for the Flames through the early season here. It's their special teams are terrible to the degree that they're bottom five in terms of shots surrendered on the PK, and then they're bottom five in terms of shots generated on the power play. So even though they're not too bad at even strength, they can usually keep that 50% or above in terms of shot differential and stuff. But as soon as they get on the power play or the penalty kill, it deflates the entire team because they're terrible at going both ways. So the other problem is the top line, some of the most expensive players on the club have been pretty poor through the opening month or so, primarily Jerome McGinley, who looks like a shadow of himself for the first 4 weeks or so. He had a good game in Detroit, but aside from that, his point totals right now, I think he has 6 in 12 games, are indicative of his play for sure.
Is he, but he's healthy now, right? It's a matter of him just getting up to game speed. Well, Alan, that's a great question. Let me ponder it.
Sorry.
Kent? You know what? We're gonna try to get you on a better line there, buddy. That's Kent Wilson from Flames Nation, and obviously we're talking about the Calgary Flames and their situation right now. A team that, you know, I think most of us feel like the Edmonton Oilers, when the Oilers play the Flames, I hate it when the Oilers play the Flames because it's a team. Last game we should have beaten them and we didn't. They didn't. The Oilers didn't. And yet, you know, they're a veteran group and they find a way to win. They've got that wily veteran presence that allows them to come on in the third period and play well against the Oilers. But they've been so hit and miss. And as Kent just pointed out, this is a team that, you know, has relied offensively, certainly, on Jerome McGinley and a few of the other veteran players over the last few years. And with Jerome McGinley sitting at 6 points after 12 games, that's a 40-point season. That isn't the kind of thing that's going to get the Calgary Flames into the playoffs. And yet, what do you do? The Flames have traded off so many draft picks and are not a young team. So, you know, you can check the waiver wire, but a trade incoming help is unlikely at this point in time for them. So, a difficult situation for the Calgary Flames. And, you know, in the Northwest Division, as we talked with Thomas Drantz, there's some young teams coming on. There's the Canucks who are not playing well, but certainly are better than the Flames. And then there's the upstart Oilers. So we are back with Kent. So talk about where McGinley is. He had the back problem to begin and he's got off to a slow start. Is he completely healthy now?
As far as we know, he's healthy. The issue with McGinley is he's done this for the last couple of years. He's taken, you know, in 2 or 3 months just off. And I'm not saying that's an indictment of his character or anything. It's just that he might be getting to the point in his career where he just can't carry a team for an entire 82-game season. I mean, the end of one season and the beginning of last, I think there was a 30-game stretch there where he scored 3 goals. And, yeah. I mean, his underlying numbers were similarly poor. I think right now on the Flames, he has the worst Corsi-tied ratio of any regular skater on the team. Sometimes he just struggles to do what he used to do when he was 25 or 26 years old.
I've read and seen people talking about the Flames, you know, reading the Riot Act, and there's going to be changes, and they're going to, you know, the coach is going to move this, that, and the other around. How many options does Sutter have for that sort of thing to you know, draw someone else into the lineup or to make call-ups? Are there a lot of things on the farm that could help the Flames this year?
As the roster as it is, no. That's just shuffling deck chairs on the Titanic, quite frankly. I mean, this is what he has to work with, and it's just a mediocre collection of players. There's a reason the Flames have finished 10th in the Western Conference the last 2 years. So it's, I mean, he can try to shuffle things. He actually moved Iginla to align with Jokinen and Glenn Cross recently, and they weren't too bad in Detroit, and then they sort of fell off in Buffalo. So, I mean, they can make all those sorts of noises all they like, but there's only so much this roster is going to be able to do.
And as far as injuries are concerned, who's close to coming off injured reserve? Is there anybody who can help in the near future?
Michael Backlund should be coming back sometime this month. He's a good young player. He's 22 or might be 23 at this point. He has some good underlying numbers last year, but he's not going to be a savior or anything. He may land in the two top lines, and I'd put him as a 40-45 point type player at this point in his career if he gets top six ice time. So that gives you an idea of the sort of impact he'll have when he comes back.
On a positive note for Flames fans, Carlson had a whale of a game last night. He played very well.
Yeah, I think that's the best single game we've seen from a Flames goalie this year so far. It's actually too bad that the team didn't win, because when your goalie stops 42 or 44 shots, I think that's almost a .960 save percentage.
Yeah.
That's the type of game that he might steal for you. I mean, where you don't play too well, but the goalie stands on his head, and it's unfortunate the Flames only got one goal.
And the one thing I will say is the loudest I've ever heard a puck hit a crossbar was Babchuk last night. That thing resonated for hours. That was huge.
Yeah, that guy can shoot the puck. I mean, he's not a great overall defenseman, but that's definitely the one skill he brings to the table.
Is there a feeling amongst Flames fans and yourself personally that this is a year where offloading some pretty big names is likely or at least possible at the deadline?
I think it gets more possible the more performances we see like this. If the Flames continue to be, you know, a 500 team, and they continue to struggle to have outstanding performances. They've only had one or two games this year where they came away and said, yeah, they really deserve that win. The management can't run from this much longer. They've fired three or four or five coaches over the last 7 years. They've fired the GM now. They've made changes in the scouting. There's only so far you can go with a team like this that's so expensive. All of their main core players are aging past, you know, the point of obsolescence that, organizations don't rebuild until they have to, and at some point the Flames are probably going to have to.
That
could be this year.
Yeah, and the other thing, though, and I mean, I'll speak with regard to the Oilers. Every time you think that the Oilers are going to, you know, punch out the Flames or you know, throw another shovel of dirt on the Flames, the wily veterans come back and win the day. And there's always that possibility, right? Like, Iginla is Iginla, and he's not acting like it, but, you know, he could turn this around. That's pretty much what the hope is, right? That this is a short-term pain, and sooner or later all the ducks are going to be in order, and they're going to be firing on all pistons.
Yeah, I can only assume that's the game plan, at least for this season. The Flames certainly aren't terrible still. They do have several lines of established hockey players. There's quality there. There's just they don't have the ability to be an elite team, and that fades more and more as the days go by. But I think this isn't the best that we'll see from Calgary. I don't really expect them to go on an 800 tear like they did last January, February at any point, but every team in the league goes on some sort of winning streak at some point. That will happen with Calgary. It'll just depend on how management interprets that. Will it mean, yes, this team is competitive and we should stay on this path, or does it mean that was an aberration and we should start rebuilding?
This is Nation Radio on Edmonton Sports Radio Team 1260. We're available at Nation Radio, the team1260.com, and we're on Twitter at It's Nation Radio. And conversation with Kent Wilson from the Nation's Networks and Flames Nation. Three questions here from Cameron. I want to pass them along to you. They're specific to the Flames. Ole Jokinen has been recast in role of hard minute number two center. What do his advanced stats indicate about how successful that transition has been so far?
It's hard to complain. I mean, last year, that's when he really started in the role. He was about 500 across the board, so not great, but he certainly didn't get buried, which was nice. He's definitely excelled a bit more this year, and I think that has a lot to do with being joined up with Curtis Glencross, mm-hmm. who was re-signed in the offseason, and he continues to be a very good even-strength player for the Flames, and that duo has sort of come together. They've been joined at the hip this year by Brent Sutter, and for good reason. And that's actually the reason that Aginla was put on their line to sort of get him going.
Right. Another question from Cameron. What influence has John Weisbrod had on Fischer's acquisition of Horak, Byron, and Butler?
I can't speculate. I haven't talked to anyone close to the team about Weisbrod. I've heard that that he sort of brought a new mindset to the management, that they're investigating other ways and other players that they probably wouldn't have before, and that he's not romantically tied to any of the players in the system, be it on the big team or on the farm. So he's bringing a really analytic, a cold sort of analysis to the organization to see who measures up and who doesn't.
What is, now you've sort of explained it, but for those who don't know, explain Weisbrod's perceived role and what is going to come of it. Why did they hire him, and what's he planned to do?
Well, it's the team hasn't been very verbal on what exactly they expect him to do. I mean, he's sort of been brought in as an assistant to Jay Feaster. I think they also brought in Chris Snow this summer, who's on the advanced stats analytics side as well. So it looks like the organization is getting away from sort of an old boys network club that's how it worked under Sutter. It was, we like what we like, and we like what we see, or we don't like what we see. And the team is starting to investigate other ways to judge players, other ways to find value in players. I don't know if it's shown up in the organization yet, but it'll be interesting to see what happens going forward.
Okay. And final one, can you compare the Feaster slow motion rebuild to the scorched earth rebuild used by the Oilers? And that's from well, that's from Cameron.
I don't even know if we've seen Feaster's rebuild begin, really. I mean, he did get rid of Regier this offseason so he could have some cap space to re-sign guys like Tanguay and Glencross. But the team has sort of been in stasis since Feaster came aboard. They haven't done anything really overly big. They seem to be waiting, I think, for this upcoming offseason when a lot of money comes off the books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, whereas, I mean, the Oilers, a couple of years ago, I wasn't even convinced they were rebuilding. They were just spending a lot of money poorly. But when that all went into the toilet, I mean, they were forced to rebuild. There was nowhere else to go. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Edmonton, because they have definitely loaded up on some really apparently high-value future assets here, and, you know, all the first-round picks and stuff. But that can go either way. We're seeing some good things now, definitely in the standings, but sometimes you have the Chicago Blackhawks and Pittsburgh Penguins of the world, but you also have the Atlanta Thrashers and New York Islanders, so we're going to see where it goes.
Plus, if these guys play well, they're going to get paid, and that's going to create some tough decisions for the Oilers down the line.
Yeah, exactly.
Kent, what have you got coming up for us this week?
Well, everyone at Flames Nation is going to continue to lament the performance of the team, I think. What we're doing right now off to the side is we're repurposing NHLnumbers.com to be a stats and salary site, but also we're going to start publishing not only articles there, but podcasts.
Oh, cool.
So I recorded the first podcast last weekend that should be posted across the network this weekend. We had James Myrtle on and Jonathan Willis, and then today we have Gabriel Desjardins coming on. So the aim of the podcast is going to be investigating advanced stats, explaining them, talking about where they came from and where they're going.
Perfect. I look forward to that. That's an outstanding idea, and that'll be posted on all the sites?
Yeah, for now. Okay. Once NHL Numbers relaunches, we're going to start posting it there.
Okay, sounds good. Kent, thanks so much.
Thanks, Alan.
All right. That's Kent Wilson, Overlord of the Nations. He likes that title, so we're going to go with it. And a very fine writer and one of those guys who's really into the advanced stats and can give you the inside information on, you know, why the Flames are not doing well. And the underlying numbers, not as bad as one would think. They did some good things this week and some bad things. It's a kind of an up-and-down start for most of the Canadian teams, aside from the Leafs and the Oilers, which is a big story. Joanne Ireland from the EJ tweets, Tom Rennie said the Oilers will reintroduce Hemsky to contact on Sunday. And a quote here from Rennie, will get some pushing and shoving and see how he makes out with that. So getting closer, and Alex Hemsky could be in the lineup, you know, maybe Tuesday, maybe later in the week, but there's an opportunity there to see number 83, and that is always something to look forward to. Dubnyk will start tonight. That's the only change. Cam Barker not healthy enough to go, and that means Colton Tubert will be in the lineup, so we'll look forward to that as the Edmonton Oilers play in the desert tonight against the Phoenix Coyotes, game number 13. It's the Hockey Night in Canada game. Coming up next, we'll talk to Scott Taylor. This is Nation Radio, presented by Edmonton Motors.